Good morning, dear friends. This is the ninth in a series begun at the beginning of the pandemic. And last week we discussed seven doors to walk through mentioned in Scripture. Today I would like to walk with you through one of those, the doorway of intimacy. Referring to Revelation 3 and verse 20 in the ESV, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." I'd like to tell you about something that happened in my life. On a warm summer afternoon, a thunderstorm broke overhead, and I stopped everything and went out on our side porch with the metal roof and listened to the pinging, pinging, pinging of the rain on the roof. And after a while, the storm abated, and I sat at the piano feeling a leading to write a song. As I sat there, that ozone smell came into the room, floating just all around me, and was truly touching. And with it came the anointing of the Lord. And before I knew how, I had written a song based on the last words of David.
"These are the last words of David, the son of Jesse, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me,
He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the rising sun, a morning breaking without.
As I played it, I wept. Why? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit was so pervasive. I knew we had composed together. I recall several times I was awakened from a dream with the Lord's song playing in my heart. I would get out pen and paper and write it down. In this instance of the song, "For If When We Were Enemies," what came was entirely Scripture and the music I heard in the dream. Another time I was dreaming, a CD was spinning around, and I was sleeping on the couch in our music room. As I listened to the song, I suddenly woke up, sat at the piano, and wrote the song I heard in the dream. It was called "I Am Eternal." I'm not trying to say I receive all songs this way, because like any endeavor, music composition requires study, training, and hard work. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. "We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God." As Adam and Eve learned, gaining knowledge does not of itself lead to life. Gaining knowledge at the expense of obedience and love is a killer. What is of paramount importance is being known of God. In other words, letting God know me, making my heart available to him. Romans 8, verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We, through Jesus' sacrifice, have been made members of our Father's family. God wants to deeply know you so that you know you are being known. This is why the Holy Spirit is given. He will lead you into all truth. He will dispense gifts of the Spirit to all who believe. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6 in the ESV. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all to everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It is the Holy Spirit working with us through grace who releases the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. This is the stark contrast to the notion that in order to be creative and do something new, you have to take drugs, drink excessively, or enter into any number of destructive practices. As a young person and a professional musician, I watched a number of famous artists destroy their lives because of this concept. The hidden concept was to see how far one could go into the darkness, and in the darkness you would pluck the creative prize. It was only the mercy of the Lord that rescued me and brought me into his marvelous light. One day the Lord woke me with the word artisan. I had just finished an instrumental composition called Remember the Artisans about the artistic community in Venice, Italy, circa 1550 AD, people like the artist Titian and Tintoretto. This became a part of a CD called Venetian Glass. As I looked into the meaning of artisan, I found it was applied to every imaginable thing in today's consumer culture, like artisan bread, for instance. After studying its biblical meaning and reading Francis Schaeffer's book, Art and the Bible, I made the following graphic. Please at this time refer to the notes sent with this message so you can see the graphic. Artisan, a ministry of the Spirit, Exodus 35:30. See, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to design artistic works. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Ephesians 5:18. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So these scriptures came to me as I prayed about the word artisan and studied, and so I made this graphic. All of these being a ministry of the Spirit. As you can see in Exodus 35:30, the secret of Bezalel's ability to be a creative artist is being filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship to design artistic works and possess the ability to teach. He was the one who was the Michelangelo of the tabernacle, along with a man named Aholiab. We see in Psalm 45 that the writer has a tongue that is ready to glorify God. This is an essential for any godly endeavor. We all ask ourselves, what is your will, God? I'll bet you've asked that many times. Ephesians 5:18 has one of the answers. In the NIV, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Have you noticed when you are worshiping the Lord privately or singing in a congregational setting, you suddenly feel a warmth, a peace around you? Sometimes leading you to applaud with great joy or weep uncontrollably. The Lord is knowing you intimately. You are walking through the door of intimacy. As we learn the faithfulness of the lover of our souls, we come to depend upon him to direct us in the smallest things. It could be a creative endeavor, but it could also be when to tell someone about Jesus, or something so small as to the time you should cut the grass. Do you see what I mean? The door of intimacy is to stay open, for the Spirit of God is meant to be with us in everything we do. We also see here the importance of the song of the Lord in our hearts. I am daily amazed by my wife, Mary, for she is constantly humming as she works or reads or whatever she does. The music of the Lord is resounding in her heart. And the word submit at the end of this passage is an emblem of intimacy. In doing so, in submitting, we honor and deeply respect the Lord who inhabits us all. John 14:23 ESV. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Wow. The world, the flesh, and the devil fight against our fully comprehending this declaration of intimacy. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will make our hearts a dwelling place, a center within us for the expression of his love. The more I depend upon this inner guidance, the more I can participate in the life of the kingdom of God. Do you see how the thief, the robber, wants to steal this from you and me so he can exploit us for his wicked purposes? John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. As a believer, beloved of God, I understand that part of the larger reason Jesus came to earth is to be sure we, you and I, are partaking in the abundant spiritual life he intends for us. The word for life, zoe, is not referring to material goods or even soulful delights, but to the ability to be led into eternal life by the shepherd of our souls. When we buy a pair of powerful binoculars and place them to our eyes, they do us no good until we can focus them. Each eye needs to be separately focused so that we can see that far away image. This is true of the kingdom of God. The binoculars we are given is the Spirit of God. The thing needed focus is our soul and mind. The result is we receive spiritual vision. In Luke 12:1, Jesus describes the great enemy of genuine truth, beauty, the enemy of spiritual vision. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Play acting, pretending we are something we are not. Falsehood, deceptive appearances. All these keep us from the opportunity to see the King and his beauty, which we have referenced in another message from Isaiah 33 and verse 17. Unfortunately, the world system glorifies and rewards these character faults. To stay free of these things, Jesus, our King, must be at the center of my life and your life, in both thought and deed. For the artist, the composer, the writer, the painter, etc., this makes things simple. Paint, compose, write the things that glorify and reveal the truth and beauty of the Lord. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me of a principle to follow the rest of my life. I insert it here from my journal notes of that time. Sandcastles, 1988. I was given to understand that the earth is the Lord's sandbox and we are allowed to play in it. This life is a passing through. I saw a person making a beautiful sandcastle at the beach. It took all day. I saw a woman setting up an easel and wanting to paint it. I felt the emotions of the castle builder who was tempted to urge the woman to hurry on, but rather surrendered his creation willingly to the incoming tide. All of our works are as sandcastles. If we are willing to surrender them, to build them only for the Lord, we will be delivered from idolatry, worshiping the works of our hands. We will be continually transformed. Change that brings maturity is a product of surrender. Therefore, I can own nothing that I have helped to create. The most important product is the kingdom inside of me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. All of us are simply stewards of the gifts God has entrusted. Change that brings maturity is the product of surrender. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life," psuche in the Greek, the life of the soul. "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself, his soul? True surrender isn't a response to defeat, it's a response to love. Intimacy, therefore, is surrender to the love of God, whether to our Father in heaven, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, or to one of our brothers and sisters. Intimacy is not a casual relationship. It is based on deep commitment. I am intimate with my wife because we have made a lasting lifetime commitment to one another through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Commitment is based on covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement between two parties. God has made a covenant commitment to us through Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross. He will never leave us or forsake us. When Jesus comes into our lives, he is available to us always, even to the end of the age. You are at the door.
You are here.
Thank you, Father, for your great mercy to us all.